Serve Week is an opportunity for all of us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to get into our community, first and foremost, to just shine Jesus. Want families to know that we're here to engage with their kids and to engage with them. And so a night for parents to just breathe and have a night to just either go stay at home, go on a date, and kids to have fun and to learn about Jesus in a small way that will make hopefully a big impact in their lives. Thank you for all of you who served. Thank you for being willing to do this. We're super excited. I guess that's me. So I'll just thank you for serving. I appreciate you guys. Good morning, MC3 Church. We are so glad you're here with us this morning. We hope you had a restful and joyful weekend. For those of you for the first time, welcome. We're just so glad you're here today. Our goal for all of us, first time here, we've been here for a while, is that when we leave today, we would walk one step closer to Jesus. We've been in this series called The Good Soil, where we introduced the first week the parable of the sower, and then after that, the next 3 weeks, we talked about the path, and Art spoke about choosing the right path, and then we talked about the rocky ground, and Art talked about you are in control of how deep your faith will grow. Right? Whether you spend time, and how we do that is by you spend time with God and you put what God says into action. And then last week he talked about among the thorns and he just asked this question: what is choking out your faith? What weeds do you need to pull out that is choking out your faith? And today I get to conclude this series with none the other than the good soil. So, we're just going to dive right in. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4, 1 through 10. So, if you have a Bible or the Bible app, go ahead and flip through that. Mark chapter 4, 1 through 10, and it says this. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat into the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said this to them: listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up. And since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched. Since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And then other seed fell into the good soil, and it produced a grain, growing and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Mark tells us that Jesus starts it with this, listen, and he ends it with, he who has ears, let him hear. We often view this parable in the context of a self first, right? We're like, which soil are we? Are we the ones on the path? Are we the ones in the rocky ground? Are we the ones along with thorns? Or are we the good soil? We always look at this parable, rightfully so, as, okay, which one am I? Am I producing? Am I yielding 30, 60, 100-fold? But today, I just kind of wanted to fix, and not fix, but like help us change our perspective and how we view it. How the sower is generous. How the sower is gracious. So let us reread the parable now, looking at it with how gracious and generous this sower is. And he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat into the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, Jesus began with teaching. Jesus was teaching. Jesus, in his teaching, said, listen. There's three times that Mark writes teaching. How gracious and generous is the sower that teaches us. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up. Since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced a grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. A sower went out to sow. The sower did not withhold the seed. The sower sowed generously. He threw it everywhere. He sowed graciously. He just threw it, hoping that some good soil will produce a crop. The sower sowed, not worried about the waste. The sower sowed with expectation and love. Jesus is not withholding from us. He says, listen, listen. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear that there is a generous and gracious sower. Jesus is not withholding from us. We often think that. We see it all the way back in Genesis where Adam and Eve questioned God's authority, questioned his love for them. And they're like, and the serpent knew, the devil knew, like, hey, did he really say that? God doesn't withhold anything good from us. God doesn't withhold anything lovely from us. We have a generous and gracious sower. And one of the theologians that I read, it says that listen is an imperative mode, which underscores its urgency and importance. Hearing is the only possible way of understanding Jesus' parable. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes from hearing, and through hearing the word of Christ. Hearing, or better, heeding requires engagement and receptivity to what is said. The parable of the sower is framed at the beginning and end with a call to attentive hearing. Do you hear with your ears? Are you listening what the generous and gracious sower is sowing? Now, for some of you, this might be weird. For some of you, you'd be like, I don't really understand what you're doing. But here, the gracious and generous sower is sowing.
And he's telling you to listen. Open your ears to hear. Hear him. And John 10:28, it says this, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them away out of my hand. My Father has given them to me and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. John 1:4-15 says this, whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Mark 9:35, he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Do you have ears to hear? He is speaking to you. He is generously giving you his words to receive, to accept. The generous sower is sowing seeds. Will you listen? Those who have ears, let them hear. Oh, Lord, open our ears to hear. Hear your words with gratitude. Hear your words with awe and wonder. Let us listen with engagement and receptiveness. God of mercy, open our eyes to see how generous and gracious you are. Open our eyes to see Jesus for who he is. May we see with joy. May we see with thanksgiving. May we see with praise. Glory, glory, glory to the God of heaven and earth. What a gracious and generous sower we have. Now that we see this parable with the eyes of that display God as generous and gracious, let us look at what he has generously and graciously given to us. Mark 10:4-13 says this, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about this parable. And he said to them, to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand. Lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said this to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The generous and gracious sower has given you, given us, the secret of the kingdom of God. To those who are around him, who spend time with him, who seek him, the kingdom of God, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to them. Those who ask, it will be given to them. Those who seek, will find. And those who knock, the door will be opened. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given. The secret of the kingdom of God has been revealed. Listen, indeed, see and hear. The generous and gracious sower is sowing. John 13:20, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. John 1:4, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 7:25, consequently, he is able to save to those, the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. In those little pieces of paper, there are verses. There is the secret of the kingdom of God, pointing to Jesus, pointing to his love, pointing to his salvation, pointing to his mercy, pointing to his wrath, pointing to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of hope. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Listen, he is speaking, he is teaching, he is revealing, he is giving you everything. Listen, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Are you listening? Are your ears hearing? We who have ears to hear, we who listen, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to us. He has given you the secret. And for some of us, we are ignoring it. We are being blinded to it. I'm about to move on, but I want to preface this because if you don't receive it, you don't receive mercy. This is the truth. We try to sugarcoat it and make it like, hey, you know, our world says love is love, but that is so false. God is love. He tells us that he is love. Love is not love. God is love. And so we align ourselves and see who God is. Now that we have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, what must we do? How must we proceed, right? If there is a generous and gracious sower, if Jesus is the generous and gracious sower, sowing the seeds, and he's given us the secret of the kingdom of God, what must we do? How must we proceed? Mark 4, 14 through 20 says this, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while and choke the word. Endure for a little while, and then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately fall away. And the others that were sown among the thorns, they are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Blessed are those that hear, accept, and bear. Blessed are those who hear, accept, and bear. The harvest will be 30 to 60 to 100-fold. And this is the amazing thing about the harvest. And one of the commentaries that I read, it says this, the astounding harvest in verse 8 is an important clue that the growth is not owing to human activity, but to God's providential power. God is at work, hidden, unobserved, in Jesus and in the gospel to produce a yield wholly disproportionate to human perspectives, prospects, and merit. What a generous and gracious sower we have. That he would sow into us and then call us to do the same. To be generous and gracious with the seed. I am learning how to work on my lawn. You know, like we had a pipe burst. And of course, they give you like 90% of the pipe, and then the county or the government pays like 10% of the pipe. And it's like the odds are against us, okay, people? So the pipe burst, there's water leaking. I have to get it replaced. They're like, hey, man, we can do it. I'm like, all right, cool, it sounds good. So he digs a trench in my yard, and now there's just like, I'm not going to say grass. There's like grass and some weeds, and then there's this big line of dirt. And so yesterday, I went to Lowe's, and Morgan wanted some plants. I was like, okay, get some plants. And I got some little fertilizer thing, like Instant Grow. And so, like, it was like this big. I was going to bring it, I forgot it. It was like $30. And so I was like, oh, this will last the whole yard. veteran. So I start pouring some, and I'm like, oh, this is going faster than I thought. And so like I was not generous. I was like, whoo. I was like trying to make sure it lasts the whole line. I was like, and in that moment I felt like God was just like, see how you're being particular, making sure it's just on that, it's not like on the grass around it. It's like, look how generous I am. I'll put it everywhere. This is how generous I am. This is how gracious I am with my mercy, with my love, with my compassion. Because prior to that, we took Cruz and Camila to the Stripers game. Selfishly, disclaimer, I went because I wanted this cool bobblehead. I collect cool bobbleheads. But at the same time, I was like, oh, this would be fun. We'll be in the grass and we'll, you know, have a good time. Camila can come. It's not too far from our house and they can run around and all that. And so Cruz had a meltdown. We left. We bought him a cheeseburger. We bought him fries. He got a Powerade. He got gummy worms. And then he still didn't get his kind candy. And so he just started throwing a tamper tantrum. It's like, I want my cotton candy. And I was like, dude, come on, man. Like, you got to go to a game. You usually don't get candy. Like, he ate basically the whole gummy worm pack. He got a Powerade. Usually we just give him water and milk. I mean, you try to be strict here, you know. And he was just complaining. And he, we got him to the car, and he finally started settling down. And I was like, okay. And his shoe fell off. And I was like, hey. And he was, like, thinking about throwing it. I was like, don't you throw that shoe. And so he looks at me, and he goes, I close the door. It takes 5 steps to talk. I walk around my truck. Open the door, and I was doing this little tweet-tweet with Camila. Because we were just having fun. I'm like, tweet-tweet, where's my birdie? And she's, tweet-tweet, you know. You don't have to laugh at that. Just kidding. I was like, tweet, tweet, when I got in the car, and all I hear is, wah! And Morgan's like, he did it. He threw the shoe at her. And I was like, I'm about to lose my mind. I was like, you got about this much before I get, all right? And I go back to throwing the seed. And, you know, Morgan and I are like, man, what are we doing wrong? Like, what's going on? Like, why is he, you know, he had a bad morning. And so, like, we weren't going to do anything. And then we're just like, all right, we're just going to take him. And we took him, and we were just doing something good for him. Like, something fun for the family. And he loves going to baseball games. What are we doing wrong? And I was like, should we be more strict? Should we yell? And at night when we were going to sleep, I was like, Morgan, tell me if I'm being too hard. Tell me if I'm not being the dad that I need to be. She's like, you are. And I was like, well, I just don't know. Right? Like, I love sports. He had soccer practice that day. He could care less about soccer. He was running around playing in dirt. I was like, dude, man, I'm over here. Like, come on, man. We got to be messy over here. You know, you ain't going to be 6'5". At least you can play soccer, right? Saying. It's not a dig at soccer. Calm down. Sorry, that did sound wrong. My bad. My bad, Jalen. And then when we got home after practice, you know, I started cutting the grass, and I wanted all my grass to look good and all that. And he's like, hey, come play with me. I was like, all right. He's like, come dig worms. Come up. Look, I don't like bugs at all. They scare me. All right. True story. Cruz catches cockroaches. Yeah. I was like, we don't have a cockroach problem at our house. But every once in a while, they sneak in, all right? And we use Arrow. So just the disclaimer there. But every once in a while, there's a cockroach in there, right? He'll just grab it. And I'm like, dude. He'll grab lizards. I just finally got brave enough to hold a lizard. Literally, the other day, he got a butterfly. It was on the ground, and he touched it, so he's supposed to not fly. But anyway, he caught it, and he's just a butterfly on his arm, and he just loves bugs. Loves bugs. And the reason why I'm telling you this is that because, like, even we have to look inside of ourselves and say, okay, my son might not like sports like I do, but I'm going to love him no matter what. And I got to be okay with that. Like, if he doesn't play sports, man, that's fine. And so now I'm learning to catch bugs. I mean, I was cutting the grass, and there was a big old grasshopper looking thing that flies. I'd never seen one before, and I was like, what? And so I saw it, and I went and I grabbed it, and I got it. And I was like, hey dude, I got a grasshopper for you. That's what God does for us, and that's what I'm learning through Cruz and Camila, because they are, man, for those of you who have older kids, man, God bless you, because I don't know how you made it. I don't know how you still make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I'm going to be alive by the time they get to 13. You know, just too much pressure. Amen. Amen. So back to the sower. He sows. He's so gracious and generous. And loving. And this is the hard part. This is why I told you that vulnerable part when I was asking Morgan, like, hey, tell me when I need to cool down. Tell me when I need to be more compassionate, when I need to be more patient. Because the parable of the sower, this is from James R. Edwards. He says this, the parable of the sower informs and warns the disciples that although the ministry of Jesus is beset by obstacles, by betrayers, by liars, by faithless people, it will produce a harvest beyond compare. Disciples, too, will be sent to sow the word. And they, too, will know the tremendous frustration of sowing where chances of harvest seem next to impossible. But as they have experienced in their own lives, the seed will unexpectedly find good soil in the lives of others. Those who hear will understand the mystery of the kingdom of God and will, by the grace of its generous power, produce a harvest beyond belief. We have a gracious Father who sowed a seed into us, a seed of love and joy and peace and strength and courage and perseverance and endurance, so that we could do the same for others. So that we could share that same love and joy and strength and perseverance and endurance and humbleness and kindness and patience to our kids, to our friends, to our family members, to a stranger, to a neighbor, to our enemies. Just like God has done for us. Here is the word that is being sowed. And by now you know He is gracious and He is generous. By now you know that there is more to come. And here's the thing. I'm going to read these. And I'm going to throw these at you. And here's the reality. Some of you will let it pass by you. Some of you won't listen. Some of you won't receive it. Some of you won't accept it. And hopefully, not a lot of you, very few of you, won't produce a fruit. That's the reality. That God is throwing seeds. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, 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 I am with you always to the very end of the age. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. So that you have what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble. Oh, for sure you will have trouble. But take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. 1 Peter 5:9 says this, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. The generous and gracious Savior Jesus Christ has thrown the seed. And because of Jesus, we are children of God. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven. Because of Jesus, we are redeemed. Because of Jesus, we are saved. We are loved. We are strong. We are courageous. We are steadfast. We are called. We are chosen. We are beautiful. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to forgive those around us. We are able to be merciful. We are able to rejoice even when life is hard. We are able to be patient with our kids who are driving us crazy. crazy. We are able to love the unlovable. We are able to be compassionate. We are able to persevere when trials come. We are able to endure. We are able to reconcile with those who have hurt us. We are able to go and make disciples. We are able to praise when praise is hard. We are able to serve those who are deemed unservable. Because God so loves you and me, he redeemed us. Because he so loved you and me, he forgave us. He restored us. He shows us mercy when we shouldn't be shown mercy. He is patient when he shouldn't be patient. He has compassion. He is with us always. He gives us eternal life. He knows us. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He goes before you. He anoints you. Because God so loves you, he sent his only son, not to condemn you, but to save you. May you have ears to hear. Listen. I will say it again. May those who have ears hear. The God who gives generously and graciously is also the God of wrath and judgment. To those unwilling to hear, that is our reality. That is a God who is good and loving, and there's a tension there because you're like, well, if he so loves, he is sowing seeds so that they will produce a fruit. If you don't produce, that's on you. He is gracious and generous, but he's also a God of wrath and judgment to those unwilling to hear. So I pray that we may hear. May we have ears to hear. May we have hearts to accept the truth that Jesus saves, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is good, that Jesus is with us and for us and in us. May we have ears to be obedient and bear fruit. May we go and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we not show fear when God nudges you to say, hey, go pray for that person. Go pray for that person. When God nudges you to say, hey, I just wanted you to come to church with me today. Go invite them. May we not be timid. May we stand firm with confidence and joy and peace, knowing that we have a gift to share the secret of the kingdom of God, salvation, eternal life, hope, joy, all these beautiful things. We want to give it to other people. Let us not be stingy with the seed and say, well, they have no hope. Well, they are long gone. No, let us be generous. And if they choose not to receive, not to accept, not to hear or bear fruit, that is on them. But good be it on you that you would share the good news. Jesus didn't hold back. To those who didn't want to hear, he still threw the seed and said, hey, those who have ears, let them hear. May we do the same thing. And when we fail, may we know that he is good and gracious, and he will pick us back up and say, go and make disciples. Go and share the love that I have for you that changed you, that restored you, that gives you strength, that reconciled your family. Go and share the good news. Because if we don't, we're not bearing fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, you didn't have ears to hear and you didn't listen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being so generous and gracious to us. Thank you for revealing the secret of the kingdom of God to us, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. God, may we hear with our ears. May we accept it with our hearts, and may we be obedient to bear fruit. Would you guide us and lead us, God, to be a church Church that throws seeds and is generous and gracious. That sees people and wants to share your love and your hope and your joy and your peace. God, thank you for your word. May we accept it. May we receive it. May we bear fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen. Amen. G, thank you. I will say Home Depot has bigger bags for less. And deals on shop vacs. No, thank you, G. I'm telling you, we are a very lucky group of people to have two great, not just one, but two great pastoral ministers that can speak to us. And I'm just thankful for all the work that G does behind the scenes with his wife, Morgan, and I don't think they get enough credit for all the stuff that they do behind the scenes. So, G, Morgan, thank you so much for all you do. So Jim asked me last Sunday if I would do the communion meditation today, and I jumped at the opportunity because I love to speak about my Lord, but I wasn't really thinking about how much time I had this week to prepare. And so I started thinking about a time back in November when I was in Israel, and I had the awesome opportunity to take communion in the garden tomb, and a mentor of mine, Charles Turner, was a minister of mine as a young age, and he actually did the communion meditation, and he spoke of a time when he was at Atlanta Christian College, and he was in a class, and he was talking about the professor that was going to be there that day, and he tuned him out, and he decided that he was going to do something else, but all of a sudden, he picked up on something, and I picked up on this when I was that day in the garden tomb. He said, if you're ever at a loss of words, if you're ever asked to talk about Jesus, and you don't know what to say, brag on Jesus. He said, just brag on your Lord. So, if you will, bear with me. It'll just take me less than just a few minutes. Before and we, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to brag on Jesus. A, he's the Alpha and the Omega. B, he is the beginning and the end. C, Christ, the Anointed One. D, our strong deliverer. E, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. F, fairest of 10,000 to my soul. G, the good shepherd leading his sheep to greener pastures. H, high priest. I, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. J, Jesus. K, king of kings. Although he was a king, he never led an army. L, Lord of lords. M, Messiah, the promised one. N, no other name given under heaven so that we might be saved. O, omnipotent one. P, he's the potter. We're the clay. Q, one day he will judge the quick and the dead. R, Redeemer, I know my Redeemer lives. S, Savior, Savior of his people, for it is said he will save his people. T, truth, and all truth must emanate from him. U, he is God's unspeakable gift to the world. V, he is the vine, and we are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. W, he is the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father without him. X, the unknown factor. And sometimes his ways are so above ours that it can be incomprehensible. Y, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Z, he is the chief cornerstone laid in Zion, and all who believe in him shall never be ashamed. Jesus, the mere name can calm the storm, break the broken, and raise the dead. That's my Lord. That's why I brag on my Jesus. When we take communion, we're remembering the great sacrifice on the cross. The bread and the wine are tangible. They're visible reminders that Jesus gave us to remember him. Just as we depend on food and drink to live physically, we can only live spiritually through Christ. Communion is a time of just doing that, communion. It's a chance to bring ourselves before the Lord and partake in the life that he has given us through his death and resurrection. After I pray, we'll come up and we'll take communion. There's the kneeling tables to the left and to the right. There's areas of, there's the nails on the table that you can put your prayer request on. Come up, get the communion. If you need it brought to you, we'll do that as well. But just as we pray and as we think of the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for us, just take that and remember all the things that he has done for us. Let us pray. Oh Lord and God, thank you. We praise you and we thank you for the grace that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you established this supper in which we eat his body and drink his blood. Lord, I just pray now for all the ones who are about to partake. And I ask that your Holy Spirit help us take this gift worthily, to confess our sins through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord.